This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. DHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm News time here on the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. I'm Don Wick with Jamie Dickerman and Chloe Wadd. President Trump's plan to allow 300,000 metric tons of beef into the U.S. tariff-free sent the cattle futures market sharply lower. Policy Solutions President Jay Truitt says the announcement created plenty of market reaction, but he questions how much it will change beef prices for consumers.
300,000 metric tons may sound like a lot to somebody. That's 20 to 24 days worth of supply. And you're really talking about the hot dog, frozen dinner, frozen pizza market, et cetera, some institutional trade, et cetera. It's kind of a nothing burger in some respects, but the reality is that it does set just this crazy precedent for us doing some really bizarre stuff inside of is what is already a stressed market.
Sure. It says the market is beginning to weigh the actual size of the proposed imports against tight U.S. cattle and beef supplies.
100% of what we're talking about here is lean trim. It's not frozen ribeyes or chuck or ground products. It is 85s or 90 lean trim. When you look at that, we're already, our marketplace is already short 20% of what we need just to fill basic demand at today's price point. And so 300,000 metric tons sounds like a big number. We do 1.1 million on a regular basis. And so, you know, you just got to be realistic about where we are. And I think the market will figure that out.
Truitt says the tight cattle supply remains the bigger long-term market factor. He also says the limited reopening of cattle trade with Mexico is unlikely to bring enough cattle across the border to significantly change the supply picture.
The National Cattlemen's Beef Association says increasing the beef imports will not solve the high prices at the grocery store. NCBA Executive Director of Government Affairs Ken Bacchus says the move could instead slow efforts to rebuild the U.S. cattle herd.
We're not going to import our way to lower beef prices, and this is only going to prolong the issue, and it's going to send the message to the countryside to producers to hold off on rebuilding. And, you know, that's unfortunate. We've got a robust tax code in place now that should empower a lot of producers to start expansion and encourage retention. But, you know, at this point, the more the government keeps sticking its nose into the market, you know, the harder it's going to be. This essentially, you know, is just throwing cold water on the prospect of herd expansion. And unfortunately, it's going to create more instability in the countryside.
Bacchus says the administration should focus on opening more foreign markets to U.S. beef and holding trading partners accountable.
The president is still looking at all these other options to lower beef prices. The best thing we could have right now is a stable market. And the best way for that to happen is for the government to get its nose out of the business of cattle producers and let the free market do what it does best. Let cattle producers do what they do best. That's raise cattle, market their beef, and sell to American consumers and everyone else around the world. And that's where we need the government to actually step in and take some action, is open these other markets, hold our trade partners accountable, and empower cattle producers to do what they do best, and that's raise the best cattle in the world.
Mexican cattle are moving into the United States again. The Douglas, Arizona port of entry reopened Monday after being closed more than a year because of the New World screw room concerns. USDA Undersecretary Dudley Hoskins says strict checks are in place. Cattle are inspected several times, starting 30 days before entering the United States. If screw room is found, the entire group is turned away. USDA expects only a few hundred cattle to cross each day at first. Before the closure, about 1,200 to 1,500 head could move through daily. USDA says the focus is making sure the new safety rules work. If that all goes well, additional ports along the U.S.-Mexico border could reopen.
President Trump is threatening another increase in tariffs on Canadian goods as the trade fight between the two countries grows. Trump says tariffs on Canadian cars, trucks, auto parts, and steel will increase to 50% on January 1st unless the two countries reach a deal. U.S. tariffs on Canadian vehicles are currently at 25%, while Canadian steel already faces a 50% tariff. The threat follows Canada's decision to retaliate against the new U.S. tariffs that took effect on Saturday.
The growing U.S.-Canada trade fight could have major implications for agriculture. New 50% U.S. tariffs took effect Saturday on some Canadian goods, including agricultural products. Canada plans dollar-for-dollar retaliation beginning September 8th. NDSU crops economist Frayne Olson says farmers on both sides of the border need to watch what products become involved.
Yeah, and obviously from a farmer standpoint on either side of the line, from a farmer standpoint, the key, there's a few key products that we're looking at. You know, the first obviously that I think about would be the commodities, the grain products going back and forth, and or the beef products going back and forth across the line. Now, I don't anticipate, my current view is I don't anticipate that to be part of any kind of tariff or any kind of issues.
Olson says another concern for Northern Plains farmers, the cost of crop inputs and equipment.
The one that obviously also comes to mind is fertilizer. We import a lot of our phosphorus, potash, as well as some phosphates, some phosphorus products. Potassium products also, phosphorus and potassium products from Canada. And so, you know, those are obviously other components that we're worried about here, specifically for North Dakota agriculture.
Canada has not yet released the full list of U.S. products it plans to target.
57% of the U.S. corn crop and 60% of the soybean crop are in good to excellent condition. Compared to last week, that's down 3% for corn and 1% for soybeans. 62% of the spring wheat across the country has been harvested, up from 41% last week.
A warm and windy day is ahead for the region. Skies will be mostly sunny this morning. A few showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon across the northern Red River Valley and northern Minnesota. Rainfall amounts should stay light. Northwest winds could gust up to 30 miles per hour. Highs will reach the 80s. Tomorrow stays warm and breezy. Thursday a little cooler. Temps will return to the 80s Friday and through the weekend. End on rainfall totals in the past 24 hours. Rugby, North Dakota, 2.72 inches. In town, they had 8.74 in a 12-hour period. Oaks, North Dakota, 1.55 inches. Wishick, North Dakota, an inch and a tenth, 51 hundredths at El Dorado, Minnesota.
As kids head back to school, USDA and the Department of Health and Human Services have announced efforts to improve the school lunch programs. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins said the administration is strengthening the connection between the farm and the lunchroom.
We are all here because we all want to see our kids thrive and because we believe that a healthier future is within reach for all American children. It's within reach because our farmers grow and raise the healthiest food, the best food in the world. And the path to that future starts at USDA, at HHS, and across our entire administration.
HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said the Harvest to Hallways program will align federal school meal standards with the dietary guidelines announced last year.
Our plan is to significantly reduce added sugars, move children from refined grains towards whole grains, put high-quality protein back in the center of the plate, reduce reliance on highly processed foods.
During the news briefing, it was announced Tyson Foods is making a $1 million commitment over the next 2 years to support the administration's school lunch initiative.
Farmers could see significant ARC and PLC payments for the 2025 crop year. Farm Management Specialist Kent Thiessy says changes approved last year give eligible farmers a higher of the two payments.
Good news is back when they passed the One Big Beautiful Bill back in 2025, because it was after farm programs signed up for 2025, they made it retroactive, and for the 2025 year only, farmers get the higher of either PLC or ARC County if they qualify for both or just one. So what that means is that in a lot of cases, farmers will get a payment. For example, corn and soybeans, it looks like all farms that are eligible, and again, these are paid on base acres, and you got to be enrolled in the program.
DC says PLC is based on price, while ARC County also factors county yields into the payment calculation. He also says corn and soybean farms could qualify under either program, while PLC is expected to be the stronger opinion for many wheat farmers.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. At the end of 2025, there were just over 23,000 dairy farms across the United States. Terrain senior dairy analyst Ben Lane expects that number to drop below 20,000 dairy farms by the end of this decade. The milk supply has not been affected.
Well, we've managed to keep supply steady to growing. I mean, we've lost 100,000 farms since the 90s, but we're making more than 50% more milk in that time. So it's fewer farms. It's, in terms of cow numbers, steady to slightly lower or higher at the moment. But we're making much more milk with the cows that we have. So it's definitely not a story of less milk. It's fewer farms that are making more milk per cow.
The consolidation impacted more small and medium-sized dairies. The push for bigger farms is driven by the demand for efficiency. Lane sees value for the local economy when a large dairy farm locates in the area.
There is a lot of additional business around that. It is a boon to the local economy in a lot of cases, whether it's feed or transportation or equipment, all those things. I mean, there's a lot of industries that benefit from having dairies growing in a region. So it's certainly a boon to the region in a lot of ways for the general economy.
The Terrain Report said the combination of older farmers and higher cattle prices could accelerate the loss of dairy farmers in the future.
Diesel prices climbing as farmers get ready for harvest. Mid-August prices are at their highest level in a decade, according to AAA. National Corn Growers Association President Jed Bauer says he expects to spend between $20,000 and $25,000 more on diesel this year compared with January prices. Fuel supplies are also tight. U.S. distillate stocks are about 13% below the five-year average. That could add more pressure as harvest gets underway.
A North Dakota company is facing $21 million judgment for violating trade secrets and breach of contract laws. Universal Industries of Cedar Falls, Iowa, took Premier Shortline USA and its affiliate Premier Ag Manufacturing of Kindred to court. The case centered on allegations Premier deliberately copied the design elements of Universal Industries Unitube belt conveyor system for its Pro conveyor. The lawsuit claims a former Universal employee stole design files and provided the propriety information to the direct competitor.
The maker of Modelo, Corona, and Pacifico is making a $100 million investment over the next 5 years to support farmers in North Dakota, Montana, and Idaho. Constellation Brands will partner with growers in these states to identify ways to sustain their farm operations for the long term. A grower advisory committee will also be created to identify investments to support the domestic farm supply chain. Checking markets, we have some pressure this morning. Wheat down 8 cents for Minneapolis, September at 6.85¾. Chicago wheat, December down 10 and a quarter, and September hard red winter wheat down 14 and three-quarter cents. Or a fraction either side of steady for corn. September corn a quarter penny higher, 4.91 and three-quarters, quarter cent lower for Dease corn. September soybeans 3.5 down, 12 and a half. November down by 4.5 cents. On the farm calendar, the Central Lakes College Ag and Energy Research Center has a field day this upcoming Friday in Staples. Runs from 9 till 3 o'clock. A number of vendors, they've got equipment on display as well as those seminars as well. Thanks for listening. This is the Red River Farm Network.